Bring back Kanu.
They're not ready.
Yeah. Is there a Robson Kanu? Where's Hoback Pan? We could have had the next Makalele.
We need the yak. Bring the yak.
Bring the yak back. It's the day you dread as a little club, tolerate as a big one, and absolutely love if you're a football agent. We will look back on one of Reading's biggest transfer deadline days in recent memory and discuss where it leaves Steve Clarke's squad heading forward. On top of that, we've got a pair of wins to talk about, and we'll answer your questions in the mailbag in our latest Tarlhurst End podcast. Good afternoon, my name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'd like to say that we've made some dramatic deadline day signings ourselves, but no, we're still going to pedal out the same team. Keep going, consistency and loyalty, and the budget's run dry.
Loyalty gets you nowhere in this game.
Absolutely not. Well, the voice you just heard is Johnny Williams, deputy editor. Johnny, hello.
Yeah, and I was pining for a move away as well until you told me I'll be sitting in the reserves for the next 6 months.
Yeah,
I have to wait till January now.
You're going on strike like Berahino.
Yeah,
I tried to force a big move to Tottenham podcast, but they wouldn't have me, so I'm back.
Yeah,
another season. At least till January.
That is why the voice you've heard, Mr. Alan West. That's why you've been off the show for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've been negotiating, but it's a no go.
Yeah, so you come crawling back
No. I've kissed a badge, and it's all forgiven.
Absolutely. Well, welcome back, Westy. Couple of weeks, lads. Overall, we're going to delve into the thoughts on transfers in just a little minute in pub chat. But just very quickly before we go there, is this the best times we've had as a Reading fan for what, 2.5-3 years now?
It certainly is. Yeah.
I mean, it's not been difficult, has it?
Yeah, no. Well, certainly better than the Magnificent Seven we had, 17 years ago now. Yeah. It's honestly, I don't think I've felt this positive about the club in a very long time. And seeing as we had the head of positivity here just a year ago, you know, that's something that can certainly be commended.
Do you know what? I looked at the squad on a Saturday and I was sat looking at the bench and I thought, you know what, that's a good bench all of a sudden. Everyone's back, everyone's fit. But now with this added players they brought in today, it looks like a really strong squad. And I'd be surprised if they didn't get in the top six now.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in much more detail in pub chat in just a second. But don't worry, we'll be covering that great win at Brentford and the cheeky cup win at Portsmouth as well. So stay tuned throughout the show. But in the meantime, let's head on to pub chat.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, chaps, we're mixing things up today. We're going to go straight to the pub, straight to pub chat. Going to dispense with talking about Brentford and Portsmouth for just a little while. So if you're hanging on to hear us discuss Nick Blackman's performance, just hang on a little bit longer. We will get there. Don't you worry. We'll discuss Reading's latest football genius.
So if you are listening, Nick, just hold on for 25 minutes. We'll get to you in a minute.
But no, there's only one place to start. Transfer deadline day is over. The window slammed shut about an hour before we recorded this. It's about 7:15, so as far as we're concerned, that is deals done. Should there be anything late breaking, we'll break it here. Although for you listening, it'll be decidedly old news. But for us, it'll be fresh. So, you know, get the
like
drama.
The
yeah, just like when we did the cup draws last year.
The shock.
Oh, that was brilliant, the cup draw, wasn't it?
That was the exciting stuff. Mm. Even better when we listened back to it.
Oh, yeah. Made for radio, wasn't it?
It was, well, definitely.
Fingers crossed we'll try and get that excitement on this show as well. But yeah, transfer deadline day is over and Reading, it's been one of the most exciting ones in recent memory. You know, if you consider last year when we signed, what, Yakubu and Travner, people like that.
When I didn't think it could get more exciting than that, signing Yakubu and Travner, it did. And big time.
Where is Giro Travner now? Anyway, Reading have signed two players. They've signed Matej Vidra and Ola John. Vidra coming in from Watford on a season-long loan for what is reported to be a club record fee, Johnny. £2.5 million plus the full wages for a player for just a single season.
Big gamble, but worth it, I think. He is a quality striker. And if you'd said to me at the start of the window, target one player, give me one name, give me one striker who you'd want realistically, it would have been Vidra, because he's pacey, he's young, he can score goals. He's proven that he can score goals at this level. He scored, I think, at least 16 goals in two championship seasons for Watford. We've seen and said that Sarr needs someone to play off and someone that he can provide the balls for. And I think he's absolutely perfect, honestly. Yes, the fee is likely, you know, probably a little bit too big, and he's likely to be on hefty wages as well. He only just signed a new five-year contract at Watford. But I think if he gets those goals, then, you know, it's absolutely worth it. And you see the silly amounts of money that top quality strikers are going for these days. I think this is a great investment by the club. And if we go up, then, you know, we've still got him and we know he's a proven goal scorer.
It's a great investment if they get promoted now, definitely. £2.5 million for a striker of his calibre is nothing in today's market. But if it doesn't work out, it's a lot of money spent and no reward. So again, it'd be one of those things we'd be able to judge more at the end of the season. But for the player that he is and the fact that we know he can do it at this level and his age and his pace and the fact that he will scare teams, it's a great signing.
Yeah, he's just 23. He was named the Championship Player of the Season in 2012-13 as Watford narrowly missed out on promotion. He's played under Steve Clarke before as well. Clarke signed him while he was at West Brom. Didn't have the greatest of spells at the Hawthorns. I think he only started 7 Premier League games. Didn't score a lot of goals and was mostly on the bench. But Steve Clarke will know all about him at this level because he said, chaps, he's a very proven commodity. Unlike the other man that we've signed today, Ola John. Ola John.
Ola.
Welcome to the club. But Ola John has joined from Benfica on what is reported to be a season-long loan. As I said, as we record this, Reading haven't officially confirmed it, but Charles Watts has said it is a done deal, so he will join. Someone, again, that's had a lot of promise. He went for a 10-figure transfer fee once upon a time. But
we
now...
haven't got good history with those players, have we?
No. Well...
was it? There's a reason they're here?
Yeah, there's a reason they're here.
On the bright side, unlike some of those other names, Trentha. This lad is someone that will only be joining for a season. He is, as I said, a Dutch winger. He's played... he spent his last few seasons at Benfica, but not really got a lot of game time. Spent half a season on loan, at Hamburg. Again, didn't really impress, but he's a player, Johnny, that, again, it's something different. We've looked at the wing situation and we've been crying out for someone who can play on the left as an out-and-out winger. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's Tariq Fosu, but he's still very young at this age. And again, it looks like a shrewd bit of business.
It does, but... And this is the concern that I have now with the squad. It does look a bit big. A lot of players there. If you consider now we brought in Vidra up front and you've got Saar there and Blackburn and Robson Kanu wherever he wants to play. Out on the wings, you say you've got Fosu, you've got McCleary, you've got Hurtado, who we still haven't seen, and John as well. I hope he's a really good signing, but I would have thought that this perhaps is one too many or one that we could have left off. I mean, if he turns out to be a world beater, then it's another fine piece of business. But and I hope he is. But I wasn't quite sure about this one.
Well, for some time, we've had no competition for places. For at least 2 or 3 seasons, pretty much you could pick the 11 every week. And all of a sudden, you haven't. And it means that players really need to be playing well to be playing in that team. And with these players with big names, expensive wages, no doubt, and big reputations... I think it's a great thing for Reading. I think now you can look at that bench every week and even players are not making the squad and think this is a good squad. And even 3 or 4 injuries now won't affect us too much where it did in the past.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Johnny, I mean, yeah, it does that the squad's a little bit hefty at times, but as Wesley says, when you take into consideration injuries, lack of form, and let's look at the wing situation because you've got Gareth McCleary there, who's great, but again, struggles with injury. Hurtado, you have no idea what you're going to get from. Nope. Fosu's very, very young. We've only seen him for an hour in the championship, and he's also got injury doubts as well. And then you've got the two-headed monster of Nick Blackman and Hal Robson-Kanu, who in, what, the last 3 seasons, neither of them's nailed down that spot.
So. And I think it was only a couple of weeks ago we were saying neither of them to our wingers. So now we've got 3 or 4 wingers at the club. Mm. So it does make competition for places, and that's what you need.
And again, I don't think there's a bad thing as a 1-year contract. I think, you know, even if they are paying his full wages, it's 1 year, and at the end of the season you go, well, that turned out to be a bust.
The thing is, players like John are going to look at this as opportunity. If they're going to make it a decent career for himself and want to get into the English League, where, let's face it, that's where the money is at the moment, this is a good opportunity for him to play well at Reading. If he has a good season at Reading, sets the championship at light, there'll be Premier League clubs banging on the door if Reading don't get promoted.
It's certainly encouraging that our scouting department / the people who are in contact with the agents at the club certainly seem to be spreading their wings far and wide, or spreading their net in terms of the players we brought in. I mean, I'd never heard of Ola John or Hurtado or Alex Fernandez before this transfer window.
No.
And, you know, suddenly we're hoping that they turn out to be absolute world beaters. So kudos to the scouting department if they get it right. We'll come back to this in 6 months.
If they get it right. But again, they've had quite a few shots at it. So even if one of them pulls some out of the bag, then they've probably done all right at it.
Yeah,
can't really complain. Well, those two, I think, come under the surprising bracket. I think if you know, the word shocking is overused in football when you're talking about transfers and things like this, but this one, I think, genuinely comes as shocking. Michael Hector signs for Premier League champions Chelsea. Now, lads, when we did the show, when we started the show 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago now, and going back even on the Rules Post, Michael Hector, coming through the ranks, you never thought this lad's going to be playing for the Premier League champions one day. And yet here we are.
Unless it was Reading.
Well, of course.
We live in hope.
We do. No, he's gone now as well.
Yeah, bad times.
We'll talk about him in a minute. But yeah, Michael Hector's joined Chelsea. We heard whispers of Crystal Palace being interested a couple of weeks ago. We thought, well, that might be a goer, but...
It's more realistic, yeah.
Yeah, but Chelsea... And it sounds like they've just come in at the last minute and snatched him up. £4 million is the reported fee. And Hector's back at the Bedeschi on loan for the rest of the season as well. So my initial reaction, Westy, is Chelsea have got themselves a bargain here.
I think I said a few weeks back that if Hector continues to progress the way he did towards the back end of last season, he will be an England international footballer at some point.
But he can't because he's already played for Jamaica.
Well, for Jamaican international footballer. Sorry, yeah, I did say England, yeah. But yeah, he's clearly is an international... He's got the ability to be a good international footballer, a top-level footballer. I think Chelsea have seen that and thought, you know what, he's worth a punt at £4 million. And Redknapp thought, £4 million, on potential, you might as well sell him. And again, we've got him back for a year. I think for both parts here, Reading and Chelsea, I think it's a good deal.
Johnny, some people have been slightly cynical at this move, saying, oh, it's just Chelsea boosting their homegrown quota. He's never going to play for them. He'll end up like Sidwell, etc.
Yeah.
Do you think he's got the potential to make it there?
No. I don't think he does. Certainly not at this stage now anyway. I think, like I posted it on Twitter as well, I think he is going to go down the Sidwell route of, you know, he's come back to Reading this year, obviously. He then might go on loan to another Premier League club next year, probably another Premier League club next year. And then I honestly think, you know, whilst he will be a very good footballer, I don't think he's going to be top four in the Premier League standard.
No, I agree with you there, Jim. I think it's a move too far too soon. But maybe a Crystal Palace would have been a decent stepping stone for him.
But the thing is, and we know this, he's a Chelsea fan. So he's going to, I think he will look at this move today and think, wow, I'm at the club of my dreams. And then he'll come back to Reading tomorrow and think, oh, I'm not quite sure about this. And then he'll look back at it in a year when Crystal Palace is sort of like in the Europa League or, you know, wherever they are, mid-table in the Premier League, and thought, I could be starting there now every week in the Premier League. I could have continued my development. I'm not sure that this is the right move for him. I think for £4 million, we should have got a lot more. When you consider they were willing to pay £40 million for John Stones, I think we could have taken a few more pennies out of them for that. And I don't think it's a good move for him.
Chelsea-wise, it's a no-lose. £4 million, they get that back whether they sell him in 2 years' time or not. So they ain't losing anything. I think probably Reading thought, you know what, we'll spend a lot of money here, we can get some back and still keep the player. So
yeah, and you've got to imagine with the way Reading have done business in the past that they will have a hefty sell on there. So if he does do well for Chelsea and say goes to someone like West Brom in 2 years' time for £10 million, Reading might take 10-20% of the profit. So they're sitting there laughing at another £1.5-2 million.
I think he will be playing in the Premier League, but I just don't think it will be for Chelsea. But you can understand why he's made the move.
And it's still not a finished article at the moment, and that shows by the fact he can't get in our side at the minute.
The interesting question that's been posed by a lot of people is, well, is he going to play at Reading this season? Because obviously he's been on the bench. Now, Steve Clarke has sort of hinted that it initially had to do with him playing in the Gold Cup and with Jamaica and coming back late and not being fully fit. But the way Paul McShane and Anton Ferdinand have been playing, and we'll talk about their roles in the win at Brentford as well, the way they've been playing, Michael Hector probably doesn't deserve to be in the team.
No, he doesn't start, but I'd be surprised if Ferdinand went all season without being injured at some point.
And like you say, with the rotation.
Are you questioning Anton Ferdinand's injury record?
Oh, yes.
How very dare you, sir?
Well, it's a long season. We know that he's going to get his chance at some point. And if he plays well when he's back in the team, then it'd be hard to get him out of the side again.
Think Jose will be putting pressure on, though, on Steve Clarke to play him?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think, you know, they have such a good relationship that probably he'll just say, you know, do your best with him. He's made such progression whilst he's been here that he's won that move to Chelsea. And like you say, with the rotation of the wingers and the strikers, it's a very long season playing two games a week. Even if Anton Ferdinand does make it through all that, I think now you've got the situation where you can rotate it at the back with those three who are all good Championship defenders.
Yeah, and we're still in the cup as well, so there'll be plenty of opportunity for Hector to play.
Mm. Yeah, one other deal going through on deadline day, as I said, as we record this anyway. Aaron Cole has gone out on loan to Dundee United until January, so certainly for myself, no complaints here. I think it's a good move. Hector himself went to Scotland and flourished up at Aberdeen, so good move for Cole. Or would you like to see him around the team, Westy?
No, I think, again, the amount of midfielders we've got in the side at the moment, I think it's going to hinder his progression. So he's better off going away, like Hector did, coming back in 3 months' time and then making a push for the side. I think when he played last season, he looked like a boy playing a man's game. And I think he needs that time to go and get kicked a bit and learn the game a bit.
Yeah, nothing to add.
Yeah, well, that rounds up the actual deadline day, but there was another signing made just before. It was completed last night. Was it the day before? I can't remember now. They all blur into one now. Reading signing another player from Chelsea, Lucas Piazon. We've just signed our first Spanish player, Westy. Now we've got our first Brazilian.
Yeah, was he under-23 internationals or under-21 internationals?
Yeah, he's very highly thought of. Again, one of these Chelsea players that has just been around on loan. Johnny, Chelsea have got 33 players out on loan.
It's ridiculous, I think.
33? Yeah.
And that's why you think, why have you done it, Michael? Honestly, I
why? Why, Michael? Why?
Michael.
Why have you took that £1 million?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, great move for us, and that move probably had a... And the fact that we could have signed, or were very close to signing Chalobah on loan, that relationship is very clearly very strong, and obviously Mourinho has exploited it in his own way. I think with Piazon, I'm not quite sure where he fits into the side, if Steve Clarke likes his sort of 4-4-2, and again, it's another option in the attacking zone, if you like. But I think he's a very skillful player, very creative player. And, you know, hopefully he'll get his chance here.
I'll tell you what Clark has created here compared to last year. He's created a team that can keep the ball. Yep. Footballers that are footballers. You know, we said before, it's all right playing passing football, but you've got to have the players to do it. Now, at the moment, he looks like he's got the players to do it, and the players that couldn't do it, he's shipped out. I think he's done fantastic, really. But, again, credit to the people in charge of the club. They've given him the opportunity to do it, which hasn't happened before.
Yeah, and in Piazon and Vidra, importantly, they've signed two players that give you something different to the squad. Piazon is the type of creative player that Reading have been crying out for probably since Sigurdsson left.
Yep.
He plays that sort of role just behind the striker, and I can see him certainly playing in home games where they've got a team that's going to sit deep, maybe, to someone try and break him down creatively through passes like that. And again, you could even play him as part of a midfield four, play him wide on the left, maybe. So he's got a lot of utility, and again, he's a player that's very highly thought of.
And goals as well. I mean, this added goals to the side that we looked like we was lacking, and we was complaining about it since the start of the season that we didn't have enough firepower. And last year we didn't have enough firepower. These players look like they can score goals. They have done in other leagues, and I'm sure they can bring that to here.
Yeah, and just bringing the best out of other players as well. Orlando Sarr's going to be relishing now. He's got players like John, like Vidra, like Piazon, and obviously the returning players like McCleary as well, and maybe Fosse when he comes back into the mix.
It's a very, very good squad. Very good squad. I've never been more excited.
And I know you've got, I don't know if you're going to be
important to qualify that.
As a Reading fan.
Sorry, Mrs. Johnny.
But if you look at the players that have departed, I know you've put them on the sheet in front of me, I mean, you can't say that any of those players are a step up that they've got rid of, you know. No. They're not. I mean, Pogrebnyak going was a bit of a surprise to me, I must admit, but to get him off the wage bill, and a player that, let's face it, he didn't score a lot of goals for us, for the big price tag that he was, wage-wise, I think what he's done is fantastic, really.
The one we're missing, Federici.
Yeah, well, again, I'm going to go on to the goalkeepers, but both of them look a bit shaky, don't they?
Mm. Yeah, so let's just round up these signings then. If you have been away the whole summer.
And we've probably missed a few, actually.
We have.
Judging by how many notes there are here.
There have been a lot. But on the inside of the column, you've got Jonathan Bond, Alio Habsi, Paul McShane, Anthony Taylor, Stephen Quinn, Piazon, Hurtado, Fernandez, Sarr, Vidra and John. On the out column, you've got Federici, Anderson, Travner, Pearce, Karachan, Guthrie, Akpan, Taylor, who's gone out on loan, Yakubu, Pogrebnyak, Michael Hector, although he's technically back, and Aaron Cole, who's out on loan as well. Mm-hmm. So, looking at that, as you said, my initial impression is upgrades. Upgrades pretty much all round.
All upgrades, and like I say, and the players he's brought in are footballers, where the ones he's got rid of, apart from probably, you could argue, Guthrie maybe, the rest of them aren't, are they? Players that can keep the ball and play football, they're not that sort of player.
You look at that, and there are a lot of players that are unproven. John, Sarr to an extent, Fernandez to an extent, Hurtado, Piazon. But the rest of the players are all massive upgrades and make you massively excited.
Yeah.
We talked about the spine of the team, and now if you add McShane to that, has proven himself good. Quinn, I think, has had a little bit of a slow start, but will come good. And Vidra as well. And what we've seen of Sarr as well, I think this team has the makings of something special, hopefully.
Yeah, and the players that he's brought in as well are all arguably played at a high level and are stepping down, or at least to a level that they could progress further. Whereas the players that we've got in the squad, like your McCleary's and your Hal Robson-Kanu's, are probably playing at their level. You know what I mean? They're playing at their top of their peak of their level. Whereas the players that we brought in are young, hungry, and look like they could be Premier League footballers.
Okay, well, let's get a little bit of feedback from yourselves. We'll obviously have plenty more to come in the mailbag as well, but I just wanted to get a few of these tweets in here now. Start with Keith, who says, once the transfers are completed and everyone is fit, what is Reading's best starting 11? And how's this all to your league prediction?
I don't think we know. I don't think we know what the best starting 11 is.
And I think the best thing about it is it's going to change game for game. And now you've got options. You haven't just got to stick the same team out there. You can pick and choose. I mean, I'm not saying I want to see four or five changes every week, but you can make that one little change if, say, you've got a particularly slow back line, maybe stick a quicker player in, or if you've got, you know, a shorter back line, stick a bit more power in there. Sort of things like that. Clark's got options. So, I you know, I don't know. Don't want to speak for the both of you, but I don't think I could name it.
No. Like I say, there are four or five players on that list who I have no idea how good they are. Not necessarily, you know, what level they're at. So, come back to me in 3 months and absolutely we probably can.
I mean, that's good in a way as well for the opposing team, because they ain't going to know what Reading have got at their disposal for at least a couple of months.
Absolutely not. How's it all to your league prediction then? I think at the start of the season we were what? Six, I think it was 6, 7, and 8.
We were, and Charles said 9th as well, didn't he? So we were all in that
bracket. Yeah, we were all in that bracket. I think you went for playoff, missing out on playoff glory.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, gamble aware, that I put £50 on Reading to win the league at 40-1. Nice. And after today, I'm feeling a lot more confident about that.
I think maybe a little too confident on that.
A bit overconfident.
Yeah. Gamble away.
Gamble away.
I don't know. I think with Vidra, I would probably bump that up a couple of places. And I would say 6th, 5th, 6th. That team should do it if they keep players fit.
I think now you're looking at, or you'd be disappointed if, and we say every year, there wasn't something to play for on the final day.
Yeah, I'd be shocked now if Reading don't at least push for promotion. I think maybe 3rd, if not 2nd.
Right, so I'm saying they're going to finish 6th now. Johnny?
1st.
Wow.
God, things
big
changing.
Time, yeah.
Knee jerk reactions. Here we go.
Get the sausage rolls on order. Get the bus painted.
Mate, I'm in the West. It's prawn sandwiches all the way.
I'm saying we're getting promoted. We're in the Premier League.
Wow.
The positivity of the positive is so positive.
You've heard it here first, folks. 2 out of 3 of us predicting promotion.
You wait, right? Till these 3 or 4 flops and we're like, shocking signings. Why did he do it?
Alex Fernandez, God. At least we've only got him on loan.
Bring back Akpan.
Bring back Akpan. Aw, poor Hope. He's gone. I didn't mind Hope. I didn't mind Hope back then. Yeah. He was just, unfortunately, he was just a sign of that okay championship player. You know, you compare him to someone like a Pierzon or a Fernandez, and it's...
He was a sign of having no money and gambling on a player from a lower league.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We haven't even mentioned Robert Berich. That's how good this final day has been in the signing of Vidra. The player who was possibly coming to us for about 7 months before he decided to go to France.
Yeah, they were rumoured to be paying £5 million for him, but he's gone to St Etienne.
Yeah, it's another massive big money sign that we miss out on.
Happens every window.
New transfer deadline day.
Indeed. Right. A few more tweets then just before we move on. Mark Sugar, given the substantial money it takes to run a Category 1 academy, should we be giving Chelsea kids a chance over ours?
I guess you look at the other way and you say, well, we've just sold Hector for a big amount and he rose through the ranks by going out on loan mostly. Only really played a full season here.
Yeah.
I think we absolutely should. I think, like I said last week, Steve Clarke isn't thinking like that. Steve Clarke is thinking, I want to win every game. I want the best squad at my disposal. And if that means bringing in a Chelsea player like Chaloba, I still think, you know, Chaloba would have been very welcome here, but he's gone to Napoli instead. Then absolutely we should be giving them the Chelsea kids a chance over ours.
Right, moving on to next one. Nick Beckett says, that's some serious backing from the Thai owners. Can anyone doubt their intentions now, Westy?
No, they think they can, and they've said all the right things more recently. I think they've done it right. You know, they've had a good look at what's going on here. They've gone through the club. They've looked at what we're doing and what we aren't doing, and they've given the manager backing. And I think that's what we can only ever ask of people that are in charge of this club.
Everyone's singing to the same tune, would you say?
From
the Thai owners.
Yeah, there seems harmony. I mean, Clark, to be fair, his record's been dreadful. Yeah, sorry, I just got we'll go on to that if you like. But yeah, no, it does. I mean, in all seriousness, it does seem that everyone is pushing the right direction. Clark's been backed. I mean, let's face it, the results have been poor and there's no shout of him losing his job. I think they've said, right, this is what you need. Let's give it to you. And he's certainly got it now and there's no excuses.
Absolutely not. Moving on. George says, really disappointed with the departure of Hector. Surely 4 million is a bargain for Chelsea. I think we've covered that already.
It is a bargain for Chelsea. But again, it's £4 million for a player that we got for nothing, basically.
Yeah.
And we're getting back for a year. Yeah. So I guess you look at it that way.
Yeah.
Indeed. And finally, interesting one, as we close this transfer deadline day chat, Ollie Allen, would you be in favour of the transfer window shutting before the start of the Championship season?
I don't think it really matters. I don't care, to be honest. I think it gives a little bit of added interest a little bit further into the season.
And this is the other thing that that I only just thought of, thanks to Ollie's tweet. The Premier League season normally starts a week after or sometime after, so you're faced with the situation then of players leaving the Championship even a week after the Premier League one closes.
Well, let's just say then that they shut it on the 31st of July, so before the start of both seasons.
I mean, it would certainly make it more interesting because you have to take more of a punt on players. You can't really, you know, you certainly don't know what you've got until the first month, until that you put those players into games. So, much as I hate the whole thing around transfer deadline day, I think keep it as it is.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, just sorry, well, no, it's not Reading related so much, but Antonio moving to West Ham today. Another player that I'd said when he was here, he was raw and he looked like he had the ability and he wasn't really given the chance here. And now he's moved up to the Premier League and fair play to him.
Yeah, he was a bit unfortunate really to be knocking on the door for the first team at the same time as you'd just signed McCleary, you had Robson Kanu, who was at that point still highly thought of prospect. You still had McEnough there, you still had Kebe. So it's just really bad timing. And unfortunately, sometimes no football club can stockpile players. And at the time, I think we made a decent amount of money out of him in the end. I think we got about 800 grand from Chef Wed, and then we got a bit of the sell on when they sold him to Forest. So
I think we get a little bit of money, but not too much. It's a sort of solidarity.
For developing him, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's football manager knowledge there, Johnny, isn't it?
Right.
There you go. just on the window closing, I'd be in favour of it shutting on the 31st. I think the amount of unsettledness it must, I mean, I said in the intro, you hate it as a small club because you don't know if your players are going. You know, think of Reading in past years when they've lost people like Kebe. They've lost Sigurdsson, they've lost Long, all after the start of the season. And Brian McDermott used to hate it. Look at the record of his teams in the first few weeks. And it also impacts their ability to buy, because again, you sat there with a player like Sigurdsson that you know, probably going to go, or Long's a better example, you knew Shane Long was going, but you didn't have the money and you couldn't risk spending the cash until he'd gone.
Yeah.
So you were held hostage.
Matthew Monse stepped up on the first day of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And you miss out on players because these Premier League sides and the bigger fish are trying to force the price down.
I think the worst thing was with Sigurdsson is the team was pretty much built around him. He was given a position to play sort of a free role, wasn't he? And once he went, he had to rethink things completely.
Yeah. So we'll see how that develops anyway. I would imagine that the deadline will come in before the start of the season before too long, but we'll see on that one. Anyway, plenty more of your tweets and reaction coming up in the mailbag. But in the meantime, gents, we've not just got great signings to talk about, we've got two wins. So let's move on to recapping those fantastic victories against Portsmouth and Brentford.
View from the Tarhurst end. Recapping this week's Championship action.
As I said, gents, it's a great week to be a Reading fan, really. Not only are we talking about signing a former Championship Player of the Year, we've got a Championship win to talk about. Reading ended their duck with a win at Brentford. Before that, we also bagged ourselves a League Cup tie at home to Everton by winning at Portsmouth. Now, you talk about how quickly things can change. The amount of murmurings and moaning you heard from some Reading fans when they were 1-0 down against Portsmouth was, you'd have made you think that, you know, the world was caving in, that the club were going to get relegated and things were going badly. Suddenly they score two goals, win the game, and everything's right again. And that only increases when they beat Brentford. We'll talk about that win at Griffin Park in a second, but very quickly, just a couple of points from Fratton Park. A, shocked we won there because we never win there.
No.
Two, Gareth McCleary comes back out of nowhere to score, which is great to see. And the third one, dear oh dear, we're just talking about a player that's joined the Premier League champions, but Michael Hector and Ali Alhabsi, hang your heads in shame.
Yeah.
Because that opener was shocking, to say the least.
I must admit, both goalkeepers have made me nervous at the start of the season. Neither of them look like they're it's a good job we've got a good defence because they look a bit shaky, to say the least.
But you know what I said last week? I said, if you want to drop Jonathan Bond, put Alhabsi in and he will make a clanger.
Yeah,
and you can go back and listen to last week's podcast. I said pretty much that, exactly.
He does like a mistake, doesn't he? Yeah.
Whose fault was that? Do you pin that on Alhabsi, Hector, both?
I don't think you can really pin it on one of them. I mean, Alhabsi should have been more decisive. Hector probably should have cleared the ball, but clearly Hector hasn't got a call from Alhabsi or or has. I don't think you can particularly blame it on anyone. What Alhabsi's doing, chasing him down afterwards as well. Absolutely, yeah, laughable.
For comedy value.
Good comedy.
Happy with a draw, Everton, next round?
That's a great draw, at home as well. It's all we can ask for, really. It's another winnable tie, really, at home, you'd have thought.
10 of tickets as well, Johnny.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant tie, I think. A real test against, I guess, a test of our credentials, really. I think, was it Barnsley who played in the last round? You know, that sort of was a good barometer for them, because I think it was 4-3 after 5-3 after extra time in the end. So I think it's a really good opportunity, because Everton have shown that they're a little bit creaky at the back at the moment. And so, yeah, you know, I think Steve Clarke has certainly shown that he can get his side up for cup games. He'll be saying to them, look what we did last year, we can do that again this year now. And as from a squad point of view, you got a bloody big squad now, so I think you want as many games in the cup as possible.
Yeah, and from Everton's point of view, it's a game they're going to be, it's a cup competition they should be looking to win, you know what I mean? They should be looking to go all the way in the League Cup, a side of their credentials. And I think Reading certainly let them know they've been in a game at the end of it.
Absolutely. Well, one man who scored in the game against Portsmouth was Nick Blackman. He then went two better, or one better even,
the man
scoring
the
two. Mm. Yeah, the man of the moment. He scores twice as Reading go to Griffin Park, pick up a 3-1 win, in what is really a comfortable win as well. Again, you know, I did predict a narrow 1-0 win on last week's podcast. I think the two of you predicted draws. So we all were confident of getting something. But again, to win so comprehensively against a team that, you know, beat us twice easily last season shows how far the side's come.
Yeah, and you were talking Championship Player of the Year, 2 years ago in Vidra. Championship Player of the Week now.
He is.
Nick Blackman.
In
two
Football
goals.
League week of the team of the week as well.
Two goals, winning a penalty. You know, I always thought that there would be a breakout season. I was hoping it was this season for him. Now with the amount of players we've signed, I'm not sure he's going to get that many opportunities anymore. But he's certainly showing his potential at the moment.
At the moment, they can't take him out of the side. He's scoring goals. Yeah. And that's what he's paid for. So until he stops and puts in a few abject performances, I think he starts every week.
Yeah, cracking free kick for the first one. And the second one, we know he's good at penalties. And good to see them enrol one home after Sarr's effort at Birmingham the other week.
To be fair to Nick Blackman, he's the only penalty taker that I feel confident with.
Yeah.
Because any time anyone else steps up, I think this is a miss. Straight away. But yeah, again, and I think the MK Dons manager was saying last week, he was talking about Blackman, he said, I told my team, don't let him shoot on his left foot because he's got an absolute hammer. And that free kick, the keeper didn't even see it at the back of the net, I think.
Mm. Yeah, the man to get on the score sheet, Orlando Sarr. Great little header, I thought.
Yeah, I talked about Sarr watching some of his goals from last season. He'd scored a hell of a lot of headers. And if you can get the supply, which they look like they're going to try and get to him, in the air, he looks like a real danger.
Should be a good big man, little man sort of combination with him and Vidra.
Mm. Yeah, you see that Steve Clarke has sort of, the fact that he's gone out and bought so many wingers and so many creative wide slash attacking midfield players shows that he wants to build his side around that aerial ability that Orlando Sarr has. And I think, you know, like I said, I think he will be a big, big asset. Getting that first goal will be absolutely key for him. Getting Vidra up front, getting the wingers. It all looks good on paper. It all looks fantastic on paper.
And I can't believe that I forgot to mention this in the Transfer Deadline chat, but talking to big men, Pog's gone.
Oh.
I've completely missed him, but he's gone.
No, I did mention it. Again, I was quite shocked that Pog Rebnett left. I think that was sort of
someone took him to
left field. But again, I think Reading have done the right thing at the right time, because the players that they've brought in are certainly an upgrade, and Pog Rebnett was costing them a bloody fortune.
Yeah, and his goodbye letter was the best goodbye letter I've ever read.
Tearing up at the end of that.
He'll always be the big effing Russian, and he loves it.
Yeah. Charles's comments about him on Twitter are absolutely fantastic as well.
Like, yeah.
He just walked past him and going, that was... Words I can't say. But,
he's still my man crush.
Well, goodbye, big Pog. There's a debate up on Pog's legacy on thetalisman.com, so go check that out. But anyway, back to Brentford. I said, Sarr, nodding in the goal. Defensively as well, fantastic performance. Paul McShane and Anton Ferdinand. You know, Anton Ferdinand, I tipped him as my breakout player of the year, but I didn't think he'd be quite this good. But he's looking excellent.
Yeah, and the other thing is it's left foot, right foot, and that's something that Louis van Gaal particularly likes up at Manchester United. But having that left foot in Anton Ferdinand, right foot in Paul McShane, I think is underrated in how important it is for a defence. And they're so solid at the back.
Run through the middle.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. But of course, yeah, both of them, they're both experienced centre-backs. And I think they look excellent in this division.
And again, I say this in a positive way, but if you look at the two goals we've conceded this week again, one is an absolute howler between two players that aren't even in the team regularly. Second one is an absolute rocket from the man who I predicted would score. Lasse Vibe, obviously linked to Reading last year. He was bound to score an absolute rocket as well. So again, you run down the list of goals that Reading have conceded this season. And apart from maybe at Birmingham, it shows how good the defence is, because it's taking either something calamitous or something special to beat him at the moment.
I mean, even at Birmingham, it was a deflection, the first goal.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? So no one's ripping them apart, that's for certain. And I thought they'd keep a lot of clean sheets this year, and I ain't going to change that prediction.
Like I say, we've been the better side in, I think, every game this season.
All of them, yeah.
Just the results haven't quite shown that. And that's something, obviously, that, you know, you have to do it on the pitch. You can't just do the games on paper and possession, etc. But I think this was the sort of result that was coming. Certainly.
Definitely.
And now that the goals are flowing and now that we've had this deadline day, I think it's very positive. Very positive.
Absolutely. Well, I said picking up that first win was great as well, because we were in danger of lurching into an international break without a win. And, you know, I compared it. I said if they hadn't won, it would be the first team since Terry the Taxi's boys in 98 to 97-98 to not win in their first five. So good to get that record done. And then moving onwards, that was, I think, their 13th as we sit and record this. So
only 12 places to go.
Indeed. And then Johnny's in the money.
Yep,
I am.
And we've heard it on the podcast as well that he's got money on it. So we should be expecting the beers in, Westy.
Well, we'll see, won't we?
We'll have a real life pub chat.
Yeah, real life one.
champagne bar chat. That pub sort chat. Of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1871 club chat.
Rolls Rendezvous chat. Right, anyway, that just about wraps up the championship action.
Derek
Akora chat. Derek, oh God.
Buy tickets to Derek Akora.
Yeah, local, wasn't he? Told you he was real, didn't I? You didn't believe me, did you?
Nope, never heard of him.
Yeah, you still won't think he's real if you go and watch him. It's unbelievable.
I don't know, I can top that. Show's over, folks. Yeah. No, we're going to move on now to a bit of mailbag action.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter.
At The Tarlhurst End.
And facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Right, welcome back to the mailbag. A big thank you to everybody who's sent in their tweets and emails this week. You heard the contact details there. But very quickly, at The Tarlhurst End, using hashtag TTE podcast. It's good on Twitter. You can get us on facebook.com/Tarlhurst End, and the email address is thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. And we will start with an email from Will Reed, who says, although the return of McCleary is great, do you believe it could hurt our great defensive record as he does not have the same defensive guile as Danny Williams? Also, keep up the good work on the podcast.
No.
Thanks, Will.
No, I think teams have targeted us down the wings because they realise that we're playing quite a narrow formation and you don't have a natural winger. If you put Williams out there, yes, he's solid defensively, but hasn't got much in attack. If you put Blackman or Robson Kanu out there, they don't really have the inclination to defend. I think you've already seen, and I know there's a picture floating around on Twitter that Charles put up of McCleary and Gunter, a bit of bromance there. Is it bromance? Yeah.
Bromance, definitely.
Yeah, nice hug after the game. So the understanding that those two have, I think, is a brilliant partnership, and it's certainly shown that it's a successful one in recent years as well.
Yeah, and McCleary, like I said, he gives you more going forward, which gives their defence more to worry about. So, if anything, it helped us defensively rather than hinder us.
Mm. Yeah. Talk Reading wants to know, in the light of Nick Blackman's new song, what is your favourite Reading song / chant out of all of them?
What, past or present?
Yeah.
We haven't really got too many present ones, have we?
No.
I quite liked Sean Morrison. He'll pee where he wants.
Yeah.
I think that was quite good. Yeah, we've not had a lot of... I can't remember a lot of creative good
I started
songs.
Dylan Kermalord, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I heard Black a great John Solarco one that's not really suitable for...
Just give us the gist of it, Johnny.
No.
Hot dog, sausage roll, come on Reading, score a
that
goal.
That was probably one of my least favourite ones.
Parkinson's, by Parkinson's.
Run, Chilksey.
Yeah, that was alright. No, we're not very creative when it comes to chants.
M-U-R-T-Y. I quite liked M-U-R-T-Y.
I still think Five Parkinson's around Christmas is class.
Yeah, it's good though. It's always like, you can always hear the bit of a struggle by the time it gets up to about 8 or 9 Parkinson's.
Yeah. I like it when you get a new sign and then you sort of rehash an old song and put a new name on it.
Yeah.
I think, why bother writing a new song when we've got one that's perfectly acceptable?
It's like we had Oh Danny Guthrie, Danny Williams pitched up. It's it's going to be interesting to see what some new songs going on. I quite like the new Blackman song, but he just needs to keep firing, keep being sung.
Yeah.
So
my breakout player, I hope he gets enough opportunities.
Yeah.
Well, you know, between your Nick Blackman and my Anton Ferdinand. Doing all right so far this season.
They're doing all right, yeah. Credit where credit is due.
Who did you pick for your breakout player?
I don't remember. It could have been that good.
We've got them written down, so we'll go back.
Yeah, that's the gavel up. I can't remember now.
Right, moving on. Johnny Tomlinson sends us an email. He says, "Hi guys, regarding your chat on rivalries last week, I started going to Reading in 1994, age 9, and the Oxford Swindon rivalry since that time were more than just grudges on the pitch. I remember fights outside the manor and pubs getting smashed up there, getting hit with coins and bottles thrown over the fence. Not saying it's a good thing, but these rivalries came from a time when going to those games was genuinely a bit scary. Terraces, inner city grounds, etc. With the sterilisation of that side of the game, I don't think we'll ever have conditions for a rivalry like that to start again. It's much safer going to footy now. Obviously, that's a good thing, but it definitely takes the edge out of our rivalries. Good show as always. Thanks very much, Johnny." Westy, you were away last week.
I was.
So the pub chat was, who's Reading's biggest rivals in today's day and age? So we were talking about, well, is it still Oxford and Swindon? Because, you know, we haven't played them for over a decade.
No, there's no history, is there, really, now? For sort of, especially younger fans, between Swindon and Oxford. You know, I mean, I'm a bit older, so yeah, I remember it.
Yeah.
Oxford more than Swindon, probably. But
do you think that fear factor plays a part in the rivalries? The fact that it was a, you know, a rivalry on and off the terraces, I suppose.
Yeah, back then, I guess it was. I get what you're saying here, but there isn't. I don't think there is now. I haven't really got rivals, have they?
Who's the team you hate the most for the moment as a Reading fan?
Handbags went for Oxford.
Who would you most love to beat now, 5-0?
Ooh.
We went for Swindon.
Yeah, we went for Swindon. Handbags went Oxford.
Of the old rivals?
Well, no, of
any
one.
Any team playing tomorrow, beat them 5-0. Get one over on them.
Bolton.
Yeah. So we were talking about this, and we were talking about they're more grudges than
rivals.
Yeah,
that is a grudge. Leeds probably as well, just because they seem to kick our players all over the place in general. And my mate supports them, so it's always good if we beat them.
Anyway, thanks, Johnny. Moving on, Laura Royal wants to talk about the Pogs' departure. He says the Pogs' greatest moments: number one, the dribbling assist against Arsenal; number two, his goal against Chelsea; number three, his goal against West Brom. What do you think? I loved that goal against West Brom and the celebs.
Yeah, that was the one where everyone piled on top of each other, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. I think Paul Grebniak was so close to getting his greatest moment for Reading at Wembley. He could have fired him into the FA Cup. He had two glorious opportunities.
Yeah,
he blew them. So get out of the club. Don't come back. No, but you know what I mean? I think you can't argue with any of them. His goal against Chelsea, it was a fantastic header, that was.
Really, a world-class header.
World-class header.
Yeah, there you go. I can't remember the dribbling assist against Arsenal. Yeah, I was going to say it's been in the FA. For some reason, I was thinking of the 7-5 because I remembered he scored there. Again, sorry guys, I wasn't at Wembley.
I
might have mentioned it once or twice on last year's show.
I've said it before. Paul Grebniak's greatest performance at Reading was at Man City away, when I thought he was absolutely brilliant.
Was that the 1-0 defeat?
When they got beat, yeah. But he was magnificent that day.
Yeah, I think he's done well. That game against Doncaster, he scored a couple. Were great as well. I think it'll be fondly remembered. It's just unfortunately that financially it cost us an absolute fortune.
Yeah, he didn't produce enough really for the amount of money it cost them.
He had good moments, but never really sustained it.
No, and when he scored, he seemed to have a purple patch around January of scoring sort of 3 or 4 goals. And
that's conditioned, didn't
he? Yeah, cold, Russian.
That's why he's gone back there.
Stereotypical and all that, yeah. But yeah, he had a purple patch of scoring, but he didn't score enough, did he? Let's face it.
No. Ben Print wants to know, what's your most random bit of Reading memorabilia?
I've got an NFL ball signed by just about all of the Reading Academy that I won in a competition.
My dad broke his leg back in the 80s and he's still got a get well soon card from all the Reading players from about 1984. So probably that.
Like it. I got a signed card from the 95 squad, which I quite like. And but my most random bit of memory is I have a pair of signed Jimmy Quinn Northern Ireland shorts.
Very nice. Have you tried them on?
I've not.
Yeah, you have.
When I got them, I don't think they would have fit me. Unfortunately, now they probably won't fit me for the different reason.
They're skin tight. Yeah, he had to call the ambulance to try and get them off.
So yeah, it's a sort of thing though. You can't frame a pair of shorts. So I'm just not sure what to do with them really.
Not really.
They're just sat in a drawer. I don't even. My mum might have thrown them out when I moved. I think
you've got to go a long way to beat Mr. Downs's dirty water.
Oh, from the Simo Cup washing.
Yeah, you've got to go a long way to beat. That's probably the most saddest bit of memorabilia I've ever seen.
Saddest or greatest?
No, that is sad.
Oh, so if you're listening, David.
That's when you've gone too far. You know what I mean? That is when you've pushed the boundaries of acceptability.
Well, Yeah, probably. Ben Brin also follows up with, have your expectations for season dramatically changed over the first five games? And yeah.
I think, yes, just they have.
Just a tad. And that just about wraps up the mailbag. In fact, no, I apologise, because we've had a couple of late tweets in. Nick Beckett wants to know, anyone know why Tim and Mick were missing from BBC Radio Berkshire on Saturday? I thought I'd put it to you. I have absolutely no idea.
Holidays?
I would presume holidays.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if he's in.
They were jamming at Reading Festival, clearly.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Tim and Mick in the mosh pit.
And a secret set.
A secret set?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, on the comedy stage, or?
Yes, the alternative tent, I think they call it these
days.
Yeah,
there you go.
I think the bad news for them now is if they come back and we get beat, they're going to be seen as bad omens.
Very true. Very true. And two other questions. One from Matt Waller. Would you keep Hector as vice-captain as a loanee? Perhaps Danny Williams to step up in the role. It's an interesting one, actually.
You can't really take it off him, can you?
Nah. I think you can. I think you absolutely can.
No.
What's the point of having a vice-captain if he's going away?
Point a new one in a year.
Yeah, point a new one in a year. Let's face it, McShane coming out of nowhere and made captain straight away. So
Hector's, for me, it looks like that was a role to kind of develop Hector and make him grow into a leader. Mm. Whereas, I don't think you need that now, because I don't think he's an inspirational leader on the pitch. So what's the point?
I still think it probably should be Williams, you know what I mean?
I would go for Williams.
Yeah. Who was our vice-captain in 06-07 when Sidwell left at the end of the season and pretty much everyone knew that he was off? Was it Sidwell then?
Well, it was Murray, was captain. It was Ingemarsson, wasn't it?
I was just thinking about that, because we knew that it was basically an open secret that he was going, so...
Yeah, I don't think you give the vice captaincy to a loanee. I think if he's off the pitch, I mean, if it's the League Cup tie or something, yeah, whatever. But I think if it's a league game, I think you give it to someone like Danny Williams and say,
yeah, run with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it really matters. I think we've got enough leaders on the pitch. It's only a band around your arm at the end of the day, isn't it?
Mm. True. And Lucy Taylor, just as her thoughts on Taylor, says, is this Hector deal good business or just shows money talks? Great opportunity for Heck, but what about next year? And that is a slightly interesting point, chaps, that we didn't really cover. Hector's obviously here for a season. Ferdinand's contract ends at the end of the season as well. So that leaves us a little bit short come next year. Do you think maybe it's a bit of a gamble for the club not only to have Paul McShane on the books long term?
No, because I think it gives you a year to try and source someone else or find someone else, doesn't it, really? I mean, imagine he'd gone and they'd sent him out on loan somewhere else. Then you really would be up the creek, to be honest. I mean, because you've got McShane and Ferdinand. Cooper, yes, he's shown he's competent, but he's certainly not at Hector's level yet. I think this deal, as it's gone through, as I say, I would have preferred it not to go through. I preferred it to go somewhere else. But I think, really, we've got just about the best of it in terms of getting him back for a year.
Yeah, they're clearly gambling on getting in the Premier League. And if that pays off, then we won't have to talk about it. If it doesn't pay off, and let's face it, we spent a lot of money, I think we might see a few changes next year again. But in the meantime, I think we're dealing with a present moment. I think there's a good deal for Reading at the moment. They've got the player back anyway, so what difference does it make?
Yeah.
And if they get promoted, it'll be fine.
And also, there's a lot of good young talent at the club. They've got, obviously, the likes of Jake Cooper, yeah. Dom Hyam, Rob Dickey, Noel Keown. So they've got a lot of good players that can step up. I mean, you talked about a year before Hector burst onto the scene. You weren't really thinking of Hector as a good choice. I said, you know, 18 months ago, he was on loan at Aberdeen.
Yeah, and Hector
was
18 years ago.
I don't think he receives potential.
Struggling to get into his back garden 11.
Struggling to get into school. But yeah, again, I think it's a gamble, but it's £4 million for a player they pay nothing for.
Indeed. Right, that just about wraps up the mailbag. I said thank you very much to those of you who sent in your tweets and emails. At the Tarlest End is the Twitter. TheTarlestEnd@gmail.com for emails and facebook.com/TarlestEnd. Let's move on to preview the Ipswich game. And just cover a few other bits and bobs in any other business.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. Any other business.
Chaps, it's international week, so no games to talk about this weekend. In fact, we've got to wait nearly 2 weeks now for the next game, but it's live on the telly. Friday Night Lights game, Ipswich. A team that last year lost out in the playoff semi-finals to Norwich. Started the season pretty well. They've won 3 of 5 games, drawn 1. They lost their most recent game. That was at home to Brighton. Fought back from, I think, 2-0 down in that game to put it back to 2-2, then conceded late, I don't think it was particularly late. But looking through that team and looking at where they've started in the past couple of years, obviously a team that's got good firepower up front, the likes of Pittman and Sears. But beyond that, it looks a fairly beatable Championship side, Westy.
Yeah, steady team. Again, they've been progressing under Mick McCarthy. They've got some good Championship players. They're scoring goals, but as we see when Brighton played in this week, they can see goals as well. So I'm saying we're really going to hammer them.
What is all this positivity this week?
Hammer them.
Have you got something?
You've had a good couple of weeks away, haven't you?
I don't know what you're putting this water today.
Yeah, something funny's in the air today, isn't it?
I'm refreshed from my break.
Yeah, there you go, Johnny.
Yeah, no, I look at this side and I think this looks like a side to me that is where it is because of the manager rather than the players. And we know that Mick McCarthy is a fantastic manager at this level, and you see what he's done with many clubs and what he did with Ipswich last year. And like you say, I mean, you go through that team, and I think as Luke Chambers aside, there isn't many players in that team that I would happily replace.
No, it's a good team
for anyone this team. Yeah,
it's a good team in every sense of the word. But again, if Reading are serious about getting promoted, they should be beating sides like that, I might reckon.
Yeah, former Royal J Tab returning looked like Messi. I think the last time
he might score then.
Yeah, that was the best thing ever when he celebrated and then realised where he was. We're so shocked he actually scored a goal.
They've lost both Hunt brothers this summer as well, so no Hunts returning to the club. Prediction league wise, gents. You'll be pleased to hear, I'm sure, that I am top of the league. Lording it up at the top after correctly predicting a win, getting the score wrong. Charles Watts denied again by a last-minute goal.
Yeah.
He sits second with Johnny, a point behind myself. Westy,
familiar yet territory
to get off the mark.
It's been a poor start.
5 out of 5 red X's. So I'm going to start with you to give you the chance here. You predicted a hammering.
0-0. 3-0 Reading.
3-0, Jonathan.
3-1, Reading.
3-1 to the Reading. I'm going to go much more conservative. I'm going to say Reading all... I'm actually going to say they're going to draw this. I'm going to say it's going to be all 1-1. So there we have it.
You're just doing that so we actually win, so we don't all predict 4 wins, aren't you?
No, well...
Taking a hit for the team.
Whenever we all go positive, it seems to go badly. Although we did get the result of Brentford, so...
Yeah.
There you go. That just about wraps up this week's show. As I said, I'll hopefully be back with Charles probably just before the Ipswich game to talk about all the deadline day dealings and bits and pieces.
And in the next couple of days, we'll have our Player of the Month vote up and our approval ratings as well.
Yeah.
So you can tell us how happy you are.
Yeah, and loads of content up on the website now, guys. As I said, we've talked about a lot of these transfers, but if you want more info on them, we've spoken to fans from other clubs. We've got a... Right now, you can go and read what the Watford fans think of Vidra and some of his weaknesses and his strengths. Talk about his pace, but also saying that when his heart's not in it, he can be a bit of a...
bit sulky.
Yeah, a bit of a sulky player. So again, plenty of good thoughts there from our friends over at From the Rookery End. So very much encourage you to head over there and check that out. Loads of content as well. If you do want to live over that win at Brentford, loads of good reviews and analysis up. And we'll obviously build up to the Ipswich game and review that as well. But yeah, I think that's about us done. I thought this show was going to go on much longer than that, guys.
No, we've kept it quite tight. Come back in 2 weeks when we've lost 3-1 at home and all that positivity will be...
Yeah, make note of this, gone. Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Please remember that both Westy and Johnny have said we're going up now.
Yeah, remember that. Because when they do go up, you'll know we said it here first.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we, Johnny?
You will.
And when it doesn't happen, just forget about it.
Yeah. And we'll end the show by saying that the Ola John deal has gone through. So good note to end on.
Good window and all.
Indeed, right. Well, so that just about wraps up. There will be no show from us next week unless something ridiculous happens, like Steve Clarke gets sacked. As it is international window, we can all watch Hal Robson Kanu turn into a superstar for Wales again. And watch some of our new players as well. I think Hurtado's out with Peru.
Not fit enough to play for Reading, but fit enough
to play. Oh, he's on the bench on Saturday.
Yeah, just think, come on. He wasn't match fit. No, he's fit enough to play for Peru.
Well, if he gets 90 minutes under his belt, then it'll do us the world good.
All good.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Cool.
The computer has given us our cue, guys. It's time to go.
That signals the end. The
that is right. It. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time to chew over that Ipswich game and lord the new performances, or probably immediately slag them all off when they fail to score hat-tricks on day.
Bring back Kanu.
They're not ready.
Yeah. Is there Hal Robson Kanu? Where's Hoback Pan? We could have had the next Makalele.
We need the Yak. Bring the Yak back.
Anyway, we've rambled on. That's it for us. In the meantime, come on, you ours.
Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.